the Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Specials podcast from William Hill headquarters. My name's Lee Phelps. Reality Rob Dixon is in the studio. Hello, Rob.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Yes, all good.
Excellent. And Andy Holding is on the line as well. Hi, Andy.
Hi, boys.
You all right?
Yeah, all good. Yep.
Very good. Very good. Fresh from that, we didn't get the elimination. But Jake Wood, no one had really taken any notice of him before last weekend, Andy. You stick him up as best male at 6-1. What a performance! I mean, I watched that video. We watched it in the office together on Monday, and it was like, God, yeah, it was so good. I've watched it about three more times since. It's just incredible.
Yeah, not only have you watched it three or four times, I think the whole nation has watched it. The YouTube hits have gone through the floor. I mean, last week, he was getting in around the 40,000 mark after his first week. He got a staggering 287,000 and counting on that. What can only be described as an iconic salsa, right up there with the sort of Jill Halfpenny jives. And I actually think if that would have been, say, week five or six, he would have got tens across the board.
Right.
The great thing about it is he's got that up his sleeve, hasn't he, for... Mm. Finals night. I'm pretty sure that Jake is now going to go down to the final 3 week, even at this early stage. I can't see him, the wheels coming off. He's just going to get better and better and more popular.
Yeah.
So he's already got that as, you know, a showstopper on the final night. So we've got that as backup for us that have backed him outright, and obviously for the top male. His nearest competitor, sort of on the YouTube hits, was Frankie and Kevin, who did quite a good number. That they got 33,000, but the rest of them were pretty much in line with what they achieved the week before. So he's obviously got a massive fan club already.
Yeah, one thing he got wrong though, Andy, was that he said he might be third favourite after the weekend. He's actually the fav now, 11-4 favourite to win Strictly Come Dancing. Frankie Bridge 100-30, Pixie Lott 100-30, Simon Webb 11-2, Caroline Flack 6-1, Mark Wright 14, so is Tom Evans, and then you get to 25-1 and bigger the rest. You put him up as top male because I guess you were a little bit fearful of the women. Is that a bit of an overreaction to have him as straight fav now?
Possibly, yeah. I still think that Frankie and Pixie are going to be the two most proficient dancers throughout the whole competition. I think their level is already so high that they're, you know, going to be scoring 32 pluses pretty much every week. Just because they've just got it, haven't they? You can see that Frankie and Pixie have picked up things very, very quickly. Obviously, from a musical background, that sort of like the hearing to hear the music and almost dance with the beat is just intrinsically put inside them. Whereas Jake has obviously got a lacking in that department. He's literally started from scratch. But that's the endearing thing about Jake, isn't it? That's what the public like to relate to, someone who has started from scratch, has got no background whatsoever, and can already at least hold his own against these top performers. So I don't necessarily expect Jake Wood to be top scorer every week. I think that was a bit of a one-off, the salsa. You know, he's getting 35 at the start of, you know, the second week. He's obviously only going to go one way, and that's probably down on the leaderboard. But it doesn't mean to say that, you know, he's not going to be challenging all the way through. And as long as he can just sort of hold his own and keep going and keep up with the pace, and I think come the last two or three weeks, you know, he should be fine.
Rob, did you see a lot of money pre-Saturday for Jake Wood, and what's it been like since?
All the money's been after. We saw a little bit some of the first week. There was definite promise from that first performance, but obviously the performance last week sort of took everybody's sort of breath away, and I think at the moment, I think he's deserved favourite. Based on what he's done, I think the problems for Jake might be sort of when he gets a bit more into ballroom. I think he's okay sort of out of hold. Get back into hold could be an issue, but obviously I think he's deserved favourite, and we'll have to wait and see. I mean, he's doing the walks this week, which Pixie did the walks last week and got the exact same number of points, so it'd be interesting to see how Jake's waltz compares to Pixie's.
Yeah, let's have a look. I mean, Rob's put out a few markets for us, as well as the elimination market, which we'll look at very soon. We've got the week three highest scorer market, which is one that we like to bet on here on the Specials podcast. We'll go through these. Pixie Lott is the favourite to top score at 7-4, as Rob just said. She's she's got the waltz. No, she hasn't. She's got the Quick Step this week, Pixie. Frankie is next in the betting at 2-1. She's doing the Paso Doble. Caroline at 7-2, next in the betting. She's got the Rumba with Pasha. Jake is then at 6-1. He's got the waltz, as Rob was saying. Tom at 8-1, next in the betting. The Charleston with the Vetta. And 10-1, Simon and Christina have got the Rumba, 14-1 bar. Your thoughts on the... on that market, Andy, you said Jake might not be a high scorer every week. Is there any part of you that's tempted at 6-1?
No, he should be 66. He's an absolute million this week. He's top scorer with the Wolves. He's just not shown me in the training rooms anyway that he's quite come to terms with it. He might have well improved in the last couple of days, and he puts it all together, makes me look a complete buffoon. But, you know, it might well be that the Latin's his thing. You know, obviously, hit movements-wise and out of hold, he's very confident. You know, he's almost a split personality, really. Very shy and retiring off camera, but you know, once he's on stage and the music starts, he's absolutely flying. But the waltz, it's totally different dance, isn't it? You've got to be more reserved, and you've got to get your posture right, your feet right. And I think he'll do well. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's going to ever crash and burn, Jake, because I do think he's a really, really good listener and a good learner, and he picks up things quite well. But he's up against two strong girls who, as I said, are going to pretty much be battling for favouritism each week with regard to who's going to be top dance. No great surprise that Rob's called it pretty much spot on. In fact, I'm almost flabbergasted that he's actually bet on this, because it totally threw me completely. And any idea that there was any top score betting. So I've got to think quickly on
you
my feet.
You ask for market, that's what you get.
Absolutely, yeah. You're the only one
that's
done it.
Nagging me outside the office now for markets like this, so you've got it.
Well, let's have a look at the eliminations first of all. Then we can come back to the top score market. The elimination has Jennifer Gibney as the 2-1 favourite to go this week. She's got the Foxtrot with Tristan. Judy Murray 5-2 to be the second celebrity to leave. She's got the Quick Step with Anton. Could be a car crash, that one. Tim Wanacott is with Natalie, and he's got the Charleston. He's 4-1 to go. Scott Mills, the Radio 1 DJ, 5-1. Scott and Joanna doing the Samba, and Sinetra Sarkar is 7-1 to go, doing the American Smooth with Brendan. 33-1 and bigger the rest of them. You've got pretty strong feelings, Rob, before we go to Andy on who goes. You like the last one I mentioned.
Yeah, I kind of... I mean, Andy tipped her up last week, Sinetra, and I just think, from what I've read over the week, I think this might be her time to go. She's heavily into filming again at the moment. They're not really getting much chance to perform and practice this. I think they've basically done all their practice in a few hours this week, it seems to be.
Right.
And I just don't think there's that sort of public support out there. You can see Jennifer Gibney sort of getting the bounce back from being in bottom two last week.
Right, yeah.
Judy's obviously getting what I think is getting a decent Scottish vote, because
and a bit of a sympathy
she was
one,
absolutely
maybe.
Atrocious from what I've seen. The Quick Step could genuinely be even worse.
If
we were doing lowest mark, then she's definitely up there as
yeah. Why aren't you the lowest mark, Rob? This is the thing.
Because I didn't have time to do lowest mark. I didn't have time to do.
I'm only joking.
And I think the Tim Wanacott Charleston, I think, will be pretty fun from what I've seen in training. So based on that, then Sinetra. I think maybe Sinetra, Scott Mills, bottom two, with Sinetra going.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Mills is an interesting one, Andy, because obviously he's got a brilliant platform to tell people about what he's up to every week. How many of the kind of Radio 1 audience is actually in on a Saturday night is another matter. But he's also had a bit of... there's been some pretty nasty stuff on Twitter going around, and he's had to deal with it. I think that always lends itself to, you know, helping someone in these situations. Your view on Judy when we spoke in the office on Monday was that maybe she needs a really good week so the audience almost forget about her and don't give her the sympathy vote.
Yeah, that was my problem with tipping Judy last week. Yeah. She performed badly, like I predicted, but so badly that she ended up being bottom. And I think that's the problem, isn't it? As soon as you go bottom, the sympathy vote and the people that get behind the ones that need sort of help, a helping hand, it sort of makes them get through, and obviously that on top of the Scottish vote as well. Yeah, that kind of did for me, really, but there's no denying that she's one of the worst dancers on the show, if not the worst.
Yeah.
Her and I think Scott Mills had sort of spoiled another couple, wouldn't they, really? Scott Mills is probably one of the worst dancers I've ever seen on there. He's got no rhythm, no timing, no personality. Absolutely, just completely and utterly looks out of his comfort zone from start to finish in every dance. It's uncomfortable to watch. I mean, Judy Murray, you know, was slightly better the last week, but Scott was absolutely horrible, and I expect Scott to be desperate again. He's doing the samba, goodness me. This is Car Crash Telly right up there with the best that we've ever seen.
The samba is sort of a dance of death, hasn't it? Over the previous years, we have seen people come a cropper on the samba, especially sort of more experienced and better dancers than Scott as well.
Absolutely. I mean, they always say when the football game's dull that they have the Mexican wave. And I think when you start dressing up and you know, putting on sort of gimmicky clothes, which I've seen in the training room, that's when they're not comfortable with how good the dance is going to be. Absolute 100% below Scott Mills, but unfortunately that might do him a favour, because it can't mind me, plus the fact that he's obviously getting one or two Twitter trolls coming out there and having a pop at him, he might just survive again. Judy's doing the quick step, which she doesn't look too bad in this week. I think actually maybe just she might come out of her shell a little bit. I think she's certainly in better in hold than she was last week. Jennifer's doing quite a decent dance for her. She's doing the foxtrot. When she did a Latin last week, she wasn't too great. She just needs to improve her posture. She tends to sort of like slump over. She's almost got a little bit of a hunchback. And hopefully Tristan, her Irish partner, will iron out that problem. Tim Wanacott, as Rob's already said, is doing quite a good dance for him this week. He's doing the Charleston, which is obviously hard work, but and very physical, but he's quite a cheeky chap, isn't he? I think his personality might come through. Sinetra definitely is one I've got my eye on, as I said last week. I think Rob's almost onto this, the fact that he's gone lowest in the elimination market. But she's doing the American Smooth, and she doesn't look too bad, to be fair. She actually surprised me last week. I actually thought she was much better than she was than I thought in the first week, so maybe she might get through. So, to cut long story short, I'm sticking with my instinct here. I'm going to stick with Scott Mills.
Right.
He's on borrowed time, this lad. Just because I think the others are too short for me to put up, I still think there's a little bit of legs in him at 5-1. So, reluctantly, I'm going to go with Scott Mills.
Yeah, and Sinetra for you?
Sinetra for me, yeah. I agree with Andy. I think she did better than she did last time. I'm just worried about the sort of lack of training. And I think when celebrities start moaning about filming schedules and they can't get enough time to dance, that's normally the time to get rid. So
fair enough. Yeah.
It's an extra for me.
One of the market that we've got here is a top three finish. So effectively get into the final.
Get to the final, yes.
Yeah, Frankie Bridge, Jake Wood and Pixie Lott all 5-6. Simon Webb 11-8, Caroline Flack 6-4, Mark Wright 7-2, so is Steve Baxwell and Tom Evans. Then you jump up to 7-1 for Alison Hammond and the rest. Alison Hammond, very entertaining actually, Andy. I mean, I'm not saying she can do anything in the show, she'll just be the entertainment factor for a few weeks, but could go a bit further than people expected pre-show, I suppose, couldn't she?
I agree, yeah. I mean, she's got all the personality to carry the whole show on her shoulders, to be honest. Probably the most effervescent character, and everyone kind of like feeds off of her.
Mm.
Got a brilliant partnership with Ali Ash, who's loving her. I think they're a real dynamic duo. She's just going to put everything into every single dance, as if it was her last dance on the show. She's doing the jive this week, which not really great for her, because she hasn't obviously been quite a heavy girl. So it's all about bounce action and flicks and kicks, and she's looked a bit sort of heavy on her feet. But she'll give it her all, and pretty much that's how she's going to be every week, and I think the general public love a dancer like that, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Where size isn't an issue, and she treats it as such, but it's hard to see her getting down to the last three, albeit, you know, she's going to go quite far. Again, it's difficult to look beyond the obvious three here. Jake's already put himself into the final pretty much on the back of week two. You know, if you're getting nearly a quarter of a million YouTube hits, you've got a following to start with, so he's got a base to get himself into the final. It then becomes a straight fight between Frankie, Pixie and Caroline, doesn't it? I think the two girls are going to go in there with Jake. And it's which one of the three develop with their respective partners. At the moment, I think Pixie and Frankie are just slightly ahead of Caroline. But that doesn't mean to say Caroline's that far behind. I think her and Pasha are getting on really well. She hasn't had a dance, I don't think, that can really like propel her into the into orbit. She's doing the rumba this week, which, you know, obviously is a difficult dance for any celebrity to do. You've got to get good lines and arm placements and get the feel of the dance. I think she'll do really well. And I think as the weeks go on, I think that is the one at 6-4 that might just upset the apple cart for the other two. But if you gave me one bet out of that lot, I'd say Jake at 5-6 again. It's a bit of a recurring theme with me, but I think he's all over the boys' win. I think we almost stand in the pack here now. And I think if you take 5-6 with three places on offer, that's another good bet there.
Mm. Got some match bets as well. Rob has been busy this week. Frankie Bridge versus Pixie Lott, 5-6 each of two. Jake Wood, 8-15 to last longer than Simon Webb, who's 11-8. Mark Wright, 5-6. Tom Evans, 5-6 in their match bet. And Caroline Flax, 1-4 to last longer than Alison Hammond, who's 11-4.
What was the one before? You got Jake and...
Jake and Simon, 8-15, 11-8.
Yep.
Mark Wright, Tom Evans, 5-6 each of two. So.
That's an interesting one there. Yeah. That's probably about right, 5-6 each of two. They look pretty similar at the moment.
I'd be surprised to see Mark Wright go home before Tom Evans, just on in terms of his popularity, really.
Yeah.
I think Tom's performance this week, from what I've seen, looks a lot better than Mark. So it might be that you sort of take the 5-6 Tom now, in the idea that
Tom will probably be getting the same sort of ranking dance as Mark will get with popularity.
I've not been overly impressed with either of them, to be fair, but I think Tom's got more scope at this particular time.
Fair enough, yeah. What about that high score, Mark? It landed on you a bit, Andy. Is there anyone there's not a lot to choose between Pixie and Frankie at the top of the market, is there?
No, there isn't, and they both look as though they're doing fantastic in training as well. Frankie's pass there looks fantastic. She seems to have got the shapes really well. She seems to have got into character. I think that's a good partnership with Kevin as well. I think that's going to flourish. And there's not a lot to knock about Pixie and Trent as well, isn't it? You know, 7-4, 2-1. It's going to come from one of those two.
Mm.
I suppose, you know, it's just who performs it best on the night. I'll probably go with a quick step with Pixie. You know, she got 35 last week. The judges like her. Technically, she's good. Personality-wise, obviously, she can come get her personality across. So even at 7-4, that would probably be the way I'd go. I think in most weeks when I look at these high scores, there's usually one standout price, but on this occasion there isn't. I think it's about right, so well done to Rob.
He's got his hands aloft here, like in celebration.
No, not
really. After William Hill PR man Joe Crilly sent out an email saying the bookmakers got it wrong over Jake.
Well, I've got it wrong over Jake, then every other bookmaker's done exactly the same, haven't they? So
that's why he said bookmakers, I think.
Maybe. I mean, I think the running order could be quite important this week. Obviously, there's quite a big overlap. There's an hour of Strictly once X Factor started. So, I mean, normally it would play into the hands of the late runners, but obviously with the hour, it might change. And I think Pixie and Frankie have had late slots so far. I think they're both due an early slot. Well, maybe a Caroline. I could have put Caroline up, actually, at that price. Caroline's, out of all of them, was the one I was sort of really unsure about, and I was praying that Andy wasn't going to tip her up. But
it's just the rumba, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah.
You know, we know that is so difficult. I mean, what you could see, getting the rumba at this stage, 30, 31 maximum. I can't remember a rumba that got anything bigger than 34, 35.
I mean, is it going to be a question that Pixie and, Jake, we probably know it's more difficult dance with the walks. Are they now going to be sort of undermarked for the next few weeks just to try and get a more of a level playing field, so to speak? But we will wait and see.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, although I think the judging on Strictly, as we know, is pretty much... with a straight bat, isn't it? I don't think there's any hidden agendas. They see it, Mark, as they see it.
It's interesting you say that, Andy. I mean, we had a tweet in, I think it was, it. I can't remember if it was, it was one of our regular friends on Twitter, anyway. And he said, he said effectively, and probably would say the same after you said that, that he thought it was maybe a touch naive to think there was no kind of, there was no manipulation behind the scenes on Strictly. And we know it's not as bad as X Factor. But we have seen a bit more, I suppose, over the series that we've seen over the last maybe 3 or 4 years. Do you think it's reverted back to being less manipulated than it was like maybe 2 years ago, Strictly?
I don't see it massively.
I suppose the running order is the only thing you could really manipulate.
Yeah.
Apart from the partners that you're given.
Yeah,
perhaps.
They seem to score pretty much how I see it. When I'm watching it with the missus, I can almost read what's going to happen. You know exactly what's going to come.
I bet she loves that, your missus, isn't she? Like, you know, this is just ruining it for me.
Literally, I'll go right 5, 7, 6, 6, and she go, "How'd you get that?" I said, "Well, you just know it. You know it by how they score week in, week out." So yeah. There's nothing that I'm looking at it thinking that was wrong. There was some kind of skullduggery about it.
Yeah.
There's only Craig sometimes who's difficult to read, because he will go a lot lower than what everybody else does. Like, he'll give something a 4 when it should have been a 7, or a 3 when it should have been a 5.
Mm.
I think my missus still thinks the Sunday show is live, so I can't really.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I don't see any major manipulation.
No,
they've obviously got their favourites, and they're probably told not to go too crazy in the early part of the show with the tens. But other than that, I think it's as pure as it can be.
Fair enough. Top bet for you would be Scott Mills to be eliminated then?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one this week.
Not with a strong suggestion.
No, I'm patient. I can wait over the weeks. There's going to be fantastic bets along the way. At the moment, we've got the Jake Wood. We're living off the back of that, aren't we, for three or four weeks. No, we've got the big price about that. So I'm happy just sitting on my hands for a while and just waiting for something else meaty to come along. But I've got to put something up. You know, I've highlighted, I think I'll win it this week. You know, Frankie picks in. And Scott is a tentative shot at 5-1.
And Sinatra for you?
Sinatra for me. I do think bottom two, though, might be a shock. I think there might be one of the...
You're going to say who it is?
No, I don't.
Leave it out
I'll
there.
Be honest with you.
You're just going to say it's going to be a shock.
I think there'd be one of the 25, 33-1 shots will be in the bottom two.
Alisson?
Could be.
That would be interesting. Let's have a chat about X Factor, shall we? We got to judges' houses after the craziness of the chair round. We're going to let Andy go in a second. Just get your thoughts. You texted me during the week when you caught up with the show, and you're stronger on Mr. Hay now than ever before, and you quite liked him. I mean, your view on this, Andy, just to recap, is that you're not really going to get involved until we know who's in the live shows, and we've still got the wild cards to come this week, and we're not quite sure how that's going to work. We're told that the judges will pick each other's. So, for instance, Simon will pick for Cheryl and so on and so forth. So it's still wide open as to who comes into the show. But he's been the most impressive for you, has he?
He has, yeah, from day one, really. I was sort of pinpointing him as the one I'm going to follow through it. You know, not blind. I'm not.
Yeah.
If somebody all of a sudden doesn't perform how I'm thinking and they're going the wrong way, then I'll jump ship. But each performance has been stronger and stronger for me. I thought in front of Simon, he was fantastic. I can't remember what he sung now, but it was the sensation. He blended in with those the three harmonisers alongside him, and it was just a phenomenal performance. Obviously, we know Andrea is very strong, and he's obviously got a following behind him. I actually thought the eight-piece boy band as well were very good.
Yeah,
I've got to give them credit.
They're clever how they use them, aren't they? Because they give them songs that they can each sing individually.
I think
quite a clever way of doing it.
I think that they've got their category sewn up, signed, sealed, and delivered. I don't know what the betting is for them to be top band, but you know, I think even if the odds on a show
4-9,
I mean, that, you could probably put that in a double with maybe Ben to win his category as well.
Yeah.
I think he'll win the overs because obviously he seems to have sung Jay James into a cocktail, and we got him right. He was obviously
10-11 Ben Hay now for best overs, Andy.
That's a massive price.
That
really is a massive problem.
I mean, it's funny because with Jay James, because you know, I've been kind of sat there watching it thinking, am I the only person who thinks this guy's singing through his nose? And finally Simon Cowell waits and he absolutely lauds him to the hilt, and then suddenly at judges' houses he says, "Oh, do you know you're singing through your nose?"
It seems
Why do you say that at the first audition?
It's a strange gamble, isn't it? I mean, Jay James 2 weeks ago was the darling of most people and couldn't do anything wrong, and it's basically just all what you gotta do is put your money down and pick it up in December. But yeah, it wasn't the greatest judges' houses for him. So, I mean,
the overs were poor all round.
You could take it two ways for me. One, the fact that he'd had all these pimp slots and everything, and now suddenly he comes on early. You get a chance to see what I thought was going to happen on the live shows might have happened a week early, where he's not getting the live he's not getting the pimp slot and everything, and he did look Vulnerable, I think it's last week.
Yeah,
taking to that Ben Hay now was probably one of the best at judges' houses, and you can understand why something that was, we're now 10 to 11, we'd have probably been 4 to 6, 4 to 7, Jay James, if we'd have priced this up before judges' houses.
Yeah, so all that to come. Andy, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for your time on Strictly.
Yeah, just quickly before
go on,
we go,
yeah, go on.
Is there any betting on who I think will go first?
From
first elimination?
You haven't yet, have you?
No, we're holding fire because we don't actually know at the moment how they're going to play it if we're just voting for one.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
two years ago, we had Christopher Maloney. We had the same situation. And four wild cards. And you voted for the wild card during the show. And whoever won sung last on that first night. So
gotcha.
We will wait and see. But it's likely it will be an in-play option now. Just for price purposes, you'd say that sort of Blonde Electra will be Fav over probably Fleur East and Stephanie Nowler.
Well, Stephanie Nowler's the one I'd put up. I cannot believe that she got through.
Mm.
I was really surprised. Didn't like her at all. She was very
nondescript. Fleur got a really good rap, didn't she, at judges' houses? Steph was,
yeah.
I suppose Steph's sort of under the radar. Maybe they kept under the radar because obviously people would know her through Britain's Got Talent, so maybe they didn't have to sort of push her as much. But yeah, I agree with you. I think she is vulnerable. I think the girl group do survive.
Yeah,
first
Blonde Electric could get guaranteed to get through. They're the Marmite act of this series, aren't they? They're the only really novelty act left, really.
Yeah.
I think they're going to constantly surprise everyone.
There's match bets as well. Your man Ben Haynow versus Paul Acaster, 8-11 Haynow, and even money for Paul Acaster. The Andrea Fustini versus the 8-piece. Are they going to give him a name?
No, they're giving him a name tomorrow. 400,000
suggestions,
apparently.
Wow.
I would genuinely call them. My suggestion would be to call them 8-piece boy band.
4-7 Fustini and 5-4 8-piece boy band. Lauren Platt versus Jay James, 5-6 each of two, and Only the Young versus Jake Quickenden, 4-5 the band and Jake Quickenden 10-11. I've said I'll let you go three times now, Andy. I'm going to let you go this time.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Andy.
Longest one I've done for a while.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, guys, good luck.
Cheers,
Andy Holding with his thoughts on Strictly and, of course, X Factor as well. Loads of markets here, Rob. We've touched on the overs. I've touched on the groups in terms of who we think will win those. Top overs, Ben Haynow 10-11, 5-4 Jay James, 13-2 Fleur East, wild card winner. I mean, it's you can't really see the wild card winner being there.
I think it'll be that guy. Stevie Ritchie.
Yeah, because it's Louis picking for Simon. We're told.
Yeah.
If that's what happens and the other judges
you
are picking
to your right, don't you? So.
He's going to pick him for Simon Cowell, isn't he? You would have thought.
But then, I mean, chances are he might not even get to the live bit anyway, so it's
who knows what's going
to
happen.
It's difficult to know.
So this is how it works. Cheryl has got the girls. She picks a wild card for Mel B's boys. Mel B is picking for Louis. Louis is picking for Simon Cowell, and Simon Cowell is picking the girl for Cheryl. So that'll be 16 in the final, and double evictions, no doubt, eliminations at some point. We don't quite know when.
Okay.
Top overs, it's hard to argue against Ben Hay now, to be fair, isn't it? 10 to 11 groups.
8-piece boy band are the ones that they've been touted up, haven't they?
Yeah.
The fact that they've put them all together.
What about this Overload, who we think maybe they will get in as the wild card? They've got a strong following. They were, whenever they came on stage at the audition stages, the audience just went mad immediately.
I mentioned last week, Overload were tweet every week. Overload were trending.
Yeah.
Sort of nationally, and I just think
I'm tempted to take them on. The thing with the 8-piece boy band, Rob, is that imagine if there was 8 of us doing this podcast every week. There'd be a little bit of antagonism. I mean,
we struggle with three.
We struggle, don't we? You know, just getting on for 45 minutes.
I suppose they've all got the common goal, haven't they? That they want to be successful.
It's very hard to maintain that with 8 teenage to early 20s guys. I'm not so sure. I don't like the 4-9. I'm going to go. I think Overload will get it, and I'm going to pick them out as to be the top group.
3-1.
Yeah, 3-1.
I mean, Overload definitely
decent as well. But
before they got binned off at the chairs, then Overload were by far our worst result. And obviously with this trending stuff, there is obviously fan support out there. I'm just the only problem I've got against them is that you tend to be forgotten in the sort of 2 weeks they weren't on. The fact that they'd worked so hard during the auditions to almost have these eight people as individuals and show all these individuals the auditions makes you think that this is their chosen one. And
fair enough.
I think at some stage they will try and bin off Overload. The other two are just making up the numbers for me.
Top Girl, massive category this, isn't it? Lauren Platt, 6-5. Wildcard winner, 7-4. Steph Nala, 5-1. Chloe Jasmine, 11-2. I think, there was a picture this week put around Twitter which showed Lauren, Steph and Chloe all singing around a piano, and in the background through a window you could see, I'm not sure, you could definitely see it was Lola Saunders, but everyone was saying it's Lola Saunders.
Yeah,
she will be the wild card,
though. The rumours we have is Lola Saunders.
I'd be amazed if Simon will pick her.
I would have liked Emily Middlemas to have actually got the wild card, but I think it is going to be Lola, which is quite good because I know a few people have backed her. I just think... Yeah, I suppose...
I'd still take her to win the category.
Out of all the category people, I think Lola's probably the one that's, that's got the better chance of winning.
Yeah. Best voice, probably most... best voice to sing the big ballads, and she can also probably do the quicker numbers. Chloe Jasmine, rank outside 11-2. I mean, did you see the video this week of her singing in 2008?
No.
And she came out... She was on X Factor in 2008,
right.
Audition stage, all pink and like kind of Barbie doll, cowboy hat on. No posh accent, really.
No.
So, and suddenly she's come back and she's the most posh girl in the world.
Exactly.
A lot of pictures of her in her underwear this week as well, in the tabloids. That just kind of dropped into my lap.
I think Chloe Jasmine will be this year's sort of Kitty Brucknell.
Without a doubt. I mean, she actually reminds me so much of Kitty Brucknell. It's untrue. I think I agree with you. She'll probably last longer than you'd expect, to be fair, Chloe Jasmine. It's her and Blonde Electra are the...
Some week, Chloe Jasmine is going to be that. You will have to oppose for. She will be fav to go.
And you'll oppose her.
And we will oppose her. So it's just
waiting.
Sort of binding your time. There's a lot with these shows. So.
Top Boy, Andrea Fustini, 1-2. Can't really argue with that. Paul Acaster, 11-4. The wildcard winner in the boys, 7-1. Jake Quickenden, 10-1. It's a very strong category, that, Rob. I could actually argue. For any four of them, actually, I think Jake Quickenden's going to go pretty well. I think he's quite likable. But for Andrea Fustini, every time he opens his mouth, he's phenomenal.
I know, but there's the problem I've got with Andrea Fustini is, can he do
On a cold night in Stoke?
Can he do it on a cold night in Stoke? Is what I'm thinking of, but he might have to soon. But I just think there is one type of song, isn't there?
Yeah, I get
for Andrea.
You.
Can he do the range of performances that you probably need
win? Rob?
I'm going down the one trick pony.
No, I think I know what you mean, and I did think that myself. But then I had this vision of him camping it up beyond all belief.
Really?
You know, if you think about it, let's say he has to do a disco number. You could see him striding out and doing It's Raining Men or, you know, some massive kind of disco number. He would belt it out. He'd have dancing girls. I think he's the winner.
We're waiting to see.
I really think he's the winner.
Number one's this week, which is basically
anything you want, basically.
Anything you want in the wonders of X Factor and their... Louis picked something that never got to number one.
So number one, who'll be the number two then? You think it will be Steph Nala?
Steph Nala, Fleur East, I think.
If it goes to plan,
then Steph Nala, Fleur East, one of those two.
Fair enough. That's your X Factor. Loads of markets there, so make sure you check them all out. Outrights, top three finish. Oh, we haven't discussed that, actually. Top three finish.
The boy band, wasn't it, I think, was the value, 8-11.
Ben Haynow, 11-8. Paul Acaster, 2-1. I think I'll get forgotten along the way, to be honest. Yeah. But obviously, we need all the acts in there to be able to have a proper bet on that. So we'll know a lot more after the weekend. Elsewhere on the specials pages, we've got just a quick mention for the FHM Sexiest Women. I seem to be unable to stop looking at Google images of Emily Ratajkowski.
Well, that's a problem that you've got.
She is such good value at 10-1 in this market.
To be fair,
I might be a little bit obsessed.
I'll tell you, I wouldn't kick any of them out of bed in that market. I'll be honest with you.
Hello, Mrs. Dixon. I'm not talking about your mum.
Fair play.
Who will be the celebrity guy at the Edenbridge Bonfire Society?
I'd kick a few of these out of bed.
I love this market. This is the thing where the Edenbridge Bonfire Society, they have a celebrity guy every year. And it tends to be someone who's maybe been, what would you say, been had a bit of negative
publicity. Yeah.
I mean, you've got a list there from 2007.
2013, Katie Hopkins. 2012, Lance Armstrong. 2011, Mario Balotelli. 2010, Wayne Rooney. 2009, Katy Price, Jonathan Ross. 2008,
that must have been after the,
that was after the Andrew Sachs incident. 2007, Sherry Blair.
So this year, 4-1, Jeremy Clarkson, who is really out of the news these days for doing something inappropriate. It's probably not need to go any further, to be honest with you. That's a good shout. Alex Salmond defeated, of course, SNP leader in the referendum and then resigned. 6-1. Kevin Peterson all over the press at the minute. 6-1. Katie Hopkins again. 8-1. I'm presuming no one's ever backed.
You've never backed, but Katie's probably the closest you're going to get.
Ed Miliband and Nigel Farage 10-1. Both of them. They haven't really done anything wrong so far, have they?
Not really.
Luis Suarez 12-1. I mean, there's form for sportsmen. Being on here, Lance Armstrong, Mario Balotelli, Wayne Rooney. There was a spell where it was only sportsmen.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to know.
Would Suarez not get it now because he's at Barcelona? That's the only.
Adrian Charles. That's harsh, isn't it?
Adrian Charles would love to save you.
Andy Murray 14-1. Piers Morgan. And when's Piers Morgan going to get stuck on the top of this thing? Why is he not in that list already? 14-1. Josie Cunningham.
Who's Josie? You'll need to Google Josie Cunningham. She's a vile individual. She won't be listening
really?
To the podcast. Don't you worry.
She's a vile individual. You're not usually that strong about it. Oh, that's her. Is it her, the one who got the boob job on the NHS?
Yes.
And then said she wasn't going to go into... She was going to have an abortion so she could go into Big Brother.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Now, but just,
she's from Leeds.
Just to straighten that out, though, only recently she has said that she is now completely anti-abortion, and she said she came close to making the worst decision of her life. She's had the baby, so fair play to Josie Cunningham. I think, you know, she's obviously made a little mistake
doing it,
there.
She's doing it, so she don't get stuck on that bonfire, didn't she?
16-1 Justin Bieber, 16-1 Miley Cyrus, 16-1 Rihanna, White D, 16-1 David Cameron, 20s, Nick Clegg the same, 25-1 Sepp Blatter, and 33-1 Bono. Pick one, Rob.
I think Nigel Farage.
Oh, do you really?
10-1.
I'm going to go Jeremy Clarkson at 4-1. I know it's the fav, but I'm going to go for that one anyway.
I've got a sneaky feeling Clarkson might have been on that bonfire before.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't surprise.
Does it not go back as far? I'll check that
it
out.
Did,
if
yeah.
he's been on before, I reserve the right to scratch that.
Okay.
We've got EastEnders, Nobel Prize, Samuel Johnson Prize, Turner Prize, Dancing with the Stars, Man Booker, RIBA Sterling, Next Bond, Christmas specials, Oscars, Spotty, by the way. Let me just have a quick word about that. Gareth Bale won the Player of the Year by the Welsh FA again this year.
Well, of course he was going to win the Player of the Year.
Who did he beat? Somebody from Wrexham. All building towards this Welsh pride, pushing him into the top three. Admittedly, at the minute, you can only bet on him to come second in the betting without. But 66-1. When are you going to give us an each-way shout on that?
When I do the top three betting.
When is that going to be?
What price would it be, top three? Final 12 are announced.
Okay.
What price would he be, top three?
Yeah.
Price is he to come second?
16-1.
He can be about sevens. Oh, six or sevens. Oh, oh.
Hold tight, people. It'll happen. And you know, Robbie Savage is going to get behind it.
That's not
strictly true. I'm gonna,
What did you think about Roy Keane's comments on Robbie this week?
Did you see his vine that he did?
Yeah.
He loved it, actually, Robbie.
It doesn't strike me as Robbie. I thought Robbie was always like really quiet and well-mannered. I didn't think it'd be like Robbie
What's
himself.
Thanks, Rob.
Are we allowed to talk about our special guest?
Oh, no, let's keep it a secret.
All right, okay.
It might not happen, let's be fair about it. We will hopefully have a special guest next week.
Yes, right. I'll leave it at that.
So tell your friends. And if you haven't bet on any of the specials markets this weekend, very best of luck. You can get Rob on Twitter, @reality_Rob. I'm @LeePhelps, and we welcome any correspondence.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.